Welcome back, folks. We are in the third hour of this installment of the Best of Cairo Nights. I am your lovely and always trusty producer, Mr. Sugar Shane Peterson, and we've got Mrs. Stacey Jo Ross coming in to talk to Jack about everybody's favorite subject, astrology.
Stacey.
Sometimes those could be the same thing.
Yes.
To be fair.
The day before Jack Stein goes on vacation,
yeah.
The news gods blessed me, Stacey, because I was like, I don't want to talk about anything heavy. I don't want to talk about Nazis. I don't want to talk about anybody in the GOP. I don't want to talk about crazy Democrats. I don't want to talk about... I just want to talk about something nice and light. And thankfully, Stacey, the stars aligned, pun intended, and we have been gifted a news story so that I can talk about a topic that I rarely get to talk about, but I love, love to talk about it.
Okay.
So Saturn, Mars, Venus, and Jupiter are going to line up together this month in a rare celestial spectacle. Hooray!
What's it mean?
Exactly. So for from Sunday through Wednesday, the 24th, the planetary alignment of Mars, Venus, Saturn, and Jupiter will be visible to the naked eye and via telescopes. It's going to be pre-dawn, making a quartet of planets strung out in a line across the morning sky. Yeah, pretty awesome.
Jack, this isn't good.
Why?
This isn't good. This
Why?
Means something.
Okay,
this,
so...
This means something, Jack.
So, Stacey, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. Do you believe or are you a fan of astrology?
I don't believe in it. Sometimes I read it for fun.
Yes.
But no, I think that I've looked at multiple horoscopes and been like, that's me. That's me. That's not me.
Okay. So I did a little bit of research and I found out that on average, between 4 out of 5 women believe that there is some truth or some validity to astrology, whereas 4 out of 5 men do not believe that there is any validity to astrology whatsoever. And I think that one of the things that happens is that, like, do you have anybody in your life that's dedicated to this, Stacey? Because
I was going to say literally every woman I know is. In fact, I saw the meeting of two of these parties where one of my friends who believes in it, fully believes in it.
Yes.
She'll be like, well, he's a Scorpio. So, and I'll be like, what? I don't. OK, I don't even know what that means.
Yes.
She face to face had a debate with another friend, coincidentally, or maybe not, a man who does not believe in it at all. And she was like completely baffled that he didn't believe in it. And they went back and forth for a long time about whether or not any of it matters at all. And so, yeah, I would say most of my friends who are women absolutely will like check out their horoscope, ask about their horoscope, or like I like to see some truth because I don't know how many of my friends believe it fully, but they'll kind of. They believe parts of it.
Yeah, I think that like people are always looking for some way or some through some mechanism to talk about their deep emotions, right? Everyone's kind of looking for like some technology or some way to verbalize maybe their fears or their hopes or their dreams. So some people do it through religion, some people do it through sports, I think.
Yeah.
And some majority of women do it through I always want to say astronomy, but that's not right. It's astrology.
Incorrect.
So yeah. I looked up my horoscope, Stacey Jo Ross, and I have to tell you that I think I know why people like it so much. I think it's because it appeals to our narcissism.
Oh, 1,000%. When you were talking about finding like that sense of self, I was like, you know what it is? It's wanting to know who you are. It's the reason everyone takes those 16 personality tests and you take different personality quizzes all the time is you want to be able to see you and all the good things about yourself from another point of view.
So I actually did this before I took the Myers-Briggs personality test. And are you familiar with this?
Yes, I am.
So I'm in the 2% of the population, Stacey, that is an INTJ, I think.
Wow. See, I tried to test into a more, because I'm a narcissist, I tried to test into a more rare type. Like, I literally tried to skew my answers so that I would be, because we all took it at work. I mean, we had to do it for, in part, like a work thing, but then it was a while ago in the sports pit, which is where all the hosts and producers, so we're all taking it, and two two of the people got like that INT. They were the really rare ones or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was really annoyed because I was ENFJ, which is so basic. It was okay. And their mom, like, who isn't? And so I tried taking it multiple times to skew my answers to where I would seem smarter or more rare. And I kept getting the same one. I was so annoyed.
So my horoscope today basically is like one of the most it's one of the most vague and generalized proclamations that someone could ever want to read about themselves. So it says, choose your words wisely today, dear Libra, as the Sagittarius moon activates the sector of your chart that governs communication, amplifying your voice. Be sure to use your platform for positivity and avoid engaging in petty gossip, or you may have to answer for it later. A grounded energy will fill the air later this evening when the sun makes its way into earthly Taurus. This solar placement will ask you to release any situations, behaviors, or people that are no longer serving you over the next several weeks, making it important that you prepare yourself for change and personal transformation. So another way of saying that is don't be a gossip. And yeah, be okay with change, which is like
general feedback,
which is like good advice, which advice that I would give anybody else. But they try to make it seem like it's full of mysticism and magic and like, yeah, this is going to be the future. There's another one about my daily love or my daily work. And obviously my horoscope doesn't know that I'm happily betrothed to my partner, because it's like,
right,
be on the lookout for fresh love. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
You're like, I would never. Do you think there's anyone listening right now where I was going to read mine, which is a Gemini? Do you think there's anyone listening that's like, oh my God, Jack is such a Libra and Stacey's such a Gemini?
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
100%.
It makes total sense for them. And they're like, I absolutely get it. It's also really vague. And maybe adding to me not believing it as much is the idea when you meet someone or a couple people that have the same horoscope and you're like, we are not the same person.
Yes.
But also I used to, for a company that I worked for before, we would write horoscopes. So it's like, I know that you make it up and I know that you write random things. And ours were funny because they were mean horoscopes. So they would be like, oh, you're obsessed with yourself again today, Leo, go figure. here's what's on your plate.
Do you think, so I actually knew a guy I don't know his God-given Christian name, so I don't feel bad using his name on the radio now, but he was a guy, his name was Michael Mercury, and he was, I have to be really delicate here because someone could send this audio clip to him, but let us just say that he would come into my radio partner at the time, Dave Michaels, would invite this guy on when he didn't want to do a radio show that day. And so we would do 3 hours of Michael Mercury having people call into the show. So people would call in and they would give him all of their information, what day they were born, what hour, where they were, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then he would do a chart reading for them. And it was some of the worst radio I've ever done in my life. It was awful. But the thing about Michael is that he would just speak in these generalities. He would basically do cold readings of people. And he would fill people's minds with like this woo-woo, and it was so upsetting to me. And again, this is in my humble opinion, but people would call in and they would have injuries or loved ones who had passed away, or they would have disease or whatever it is. And he would do these cold reads where he would go, so you were born in 1955. You've lost someone recently. And they would go, yes, my best friend died 2 years ago.
Wild. Maybe because he was born in 1955.
I know.
Crazy how you were able to figure that out.
And then he would say, it feels like you're suffering from, your chart is saying that you're having some kind of heart disease or pulmonary issue. And they would say, yes, my cholesterol is so high right now. And he would go, yes, your chart says this exactly, right? And people bought it. And I despised the man for his arrogance, but B, like his whole, I have to be really delicate here, his business model, which was to say, oh, let me do a full chart reading for $300. Go ahead and call me at this number, so on and so forth. And I despised the man. I thought he was one of the worst human beings I had ever met, because he was playing on the fears of what of just someone's natural life condition, right? Someone's just kind of natural ambiguity of life. What does it all mean? Where are we all going? And he would toy with people. And it was this, like, in my humble opinion, one of the most perverted things that I have ever seen. And yet, you know, I think still to this day, I think he does radio down in Santa Barbara or something. I think he pays or something for his show. But I just, that's where I really came to despise astrology, which is why I take every opportunity that I can to rant and rave about it. But it rarely comes up, Stacey.
Well, you despise grifters.
Grifters.
So this makes sense that if there are people that you feel like are taking advantage of everyone's desire to know ourselves more and feel like we have purpose and feel like we're here for a reason or there's something about us that, you know what I mean? Like, everyone wants that, like that sense of purpose, that sense that, like, oh, I know a bit more about myself this way. And there's something that's kind of like a high from reading something and thinking, oh, my God, that is how I am.
Yes,
wow.
Yeah.
Like, there. I mean, whether it's with they have like psychic readings or what's it called when someone is trying to reach dead loved ones?
Oh, a medium or a...
Yes, yeah. Like mediums. Or I think there's that feeling, in that case, sometimes of closure, but also that, like, there's a kind of excitement that comes with feeling like something's true. In part because I think a lot of people aren't 100% in belief. Like, they kind of believe it, so they get, like, a thrill of seeing that something's true. So I think that people get kind of addicted to that feeling. The one thing I'll say, unrelated to all of this, is I dislike anything that allows people to excuse bad behavior.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you have a temperament and you are horrible to people and rude to people, I don't want to hear, well, honey, I'm a Sag, so it's just like, honey, like, no.
Yeah.
You're in the workplace and that behavior isn't appropriate.
Yeah, I think that maybe people lean on it. You know, they lean into this woo-woo mysticism in a lot of ways, and then they adopt it as a personality trait, or they adopt it as like an explainer for certain behavior. I mean, one of Sarah's best friends does exactly this, where they try to justify other people's behavior by saying, oh, they are a Sagittarius, or they are a Leo, or whatever it is. And I go... You know, this is in no way rooted in science or psychology or any. This is all like pagan worship, basically. And you're asking me to like play pretend with you is what it feels like to me. Like, it feels like a little game when people are like, let's pretend like the stars in the sky have some kind of effect over what kind of person that we are. Because technically, Stacey, under the map here, you and I should not get along whatsoever. Right?
Right.
Libras and Geminis, we're supposed to be mortal enemies.
We're basically the families and feuding families in ancient stories. That's how it's always been. The Gemini versus the Libras. It's since the dawn of time, really.
Right, right.
You know what? Do you think that maybe there's a possibility that neither of us especially like horoscopes because our own horoscope didn't resonate, and that if our own horoscope resonated with us, we'd feel differently? For instance, I've always felt like a Gemini. Now, this is my impression of Gemini. So if you're Gemini and you're listening, don't be offended. I'm not writing you off. Sometimes there are traits when I'm like, oh, I'm talkative. I could see that. But it's not like an especially flattering sign. And it's also not a sign that gets a lot of the attention. It's like a B character.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've always been like, man, I wish I had a cooler sign. What's up with Leo? You know what I mean? Like, that seems like a cool sign. And so I wonder if that's also skewed our own, whether or not we believe in it. If we liked what we saw, maybe you'd believe in it more.
Yeah, this is such a like, I'm literally having synapses connected right now. That I think that's why people liked Michael Mercury so much, and why people would wait on the phone to talk to him for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, because they wanted somebody to validate who they were as a human being, and he told them exactly what they wanted to hear. You are this unique individual based on the hour that you were born and the stars in the sky and your proximity in the universe, and this is what makes you and he would even say, I wish I could remember his catchphrase. He would say something like, he would say, caller, you know, someone would call and he would go, okay, Marsha from Salinas, California, you are the center of the universe. He would say something like that, and then the person person would go, oh, Michael. And then he would just tap dance around them for 10 or 15 minutes. And then he would say, oh, I could read the rest of your chart, but we would need at least 2 hours in order to do this. Feel free to contact me at this website. And it was like a $300 surcharge. And I hated the guy so much. And after one of the shows, Stacey, I'm in Dave's car and he's driving me. You know, we wrap up the show and Michael Mercury gets in his old van and he drives away. And Dave and I are driving back to my apartment in Santa Cruz. And I go, Dave, I don't like doing that with Michael. It feels bad. I don't feel like we're doing our job. I don't feel like we're not doing any news for 3 hours. Like, it just doesn't feel entertaining and it doesn't feel good. And Dave goes, yeah, you know, we have Michael on once a month. It gives us an opportunity to take a break. And I go, you want to subject other people to Michael because you want to take a break. And there was something about it that was like,
right,
gross to me. And I guess it's like the same thing with like vitamin salesmen or, you know, stuff like that. It just feels so like taking advantage of poor, desperate people, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I also think that a lot of those, now this is very different, but you can't really do this with horoscopes because there is no like physical showing of signs that like believing in horoscopes makes you look like this. But like when it comes to that kind of like waist trimmer tea or diet supplements or any of those things, what always gets me and frustrates me is when someone has clearly had work done or has clearly, you know what I mean?
Like
has a personal trainer. And it's like, you don't use that product. You're hawking that product to someone who is desperate for a change in their lives and feels like they're out of options. And you're not showing them a realistic depiction of not only like how it worked for you, since you probably didn't use it to look like that, but secondly, like how maybe unhealthy it could be or how dangerous it could be for them.
Super bass, Stacey. This has been a good segment. I needed to discharge about how much I hate astrology. Stacey, I gotta say this though. I'm gonna miss you while I'm in Hawaii, and we're not gonna be doing radio, and you're one of my favorite radio buddies, and I'm going to have to like text you from Hawaii, and then I'm going to feel bad because you're going to be like, oh, here goes this Libra, you know, bragging about
you're being such a Libra right now. It's crazy.
And now I'm going to feel bad and I'm going to be gone for 10 whole days, Stacey. So now you only get to do your show and sometimes Gene and Ursula.
I'm devastated. I'm going to just turn to Jake during the middle of our sports show and be like, what do you think about horoscopes?
Stacey, you're the best, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
We got this another one, folks. We're almost there with this installment of the Best of Cairo Nights. And this one, it happened a few weeks ago. Me and Jack had a conversation about how a Whatcom Middle School has been receiving some criticism from conservative media all about a student-ran drag show.
Shane, you remember how we were talking about the drag show that was going on in the Whatcom Middle School? Do you remember? You and I talked about this last night.
Yeah, I remember it very, very well.
So, Shane, the basic details, correct me if I'm wrong if you remember it, but the school district put up funds for different ideas for different middle schools to throw around, say you want to have a fun little event. And there was a group called the Gender Something Alliance, Gender Sexuality Alliance or something like that. And they said, we want to have a drag show. And for whatever reason, that school district decided to award those funds to those kids. Now, do you remember my hot take on this, Shane? You want to tell the people what my hot take was on this?
Well, the hot take was that both you and I agreed on is the fact that the act of participating in a drag show has most of the time has zero sexual, you know, type of innuendos or things tied to it. It's mostly kind of just like a big free lip-syncing karaoke fun party with dudes dressed up as ladies. But it is something
ladies dress like dudes.
Yeah, sometimes
straight dudes, sometimes gay dudes, sometimes straight ladies. Sometimes gay ladies. It's all over the place.
Yeah, it's a big spectrum. But the idea is that that's something that might not be super appropriate for school-age children. That's what the argument basically was.
Right. And I also said the other argument that I made was is that if you want to call it like a costume lip sync party, that's fine. I don't care. If you want to have if there are students there that want to participate in drag and they want to show up like, I don't know, Britney Spears in sing Toxic, I don't find anything wrong with that. Like that's not weird to me. When it becomes weird is when you refer to it as a drag show intentionally, because drag shows are I don't want to say they're adult in nature, but they elicit or they promote that kind of thought, right? I mean, even though Shane, you and I have both been to drag shows, we both know that they aren't necessarily sexual in nature. But when other people hear that, when they hear those two fun buzzwords, man, boy, howdy, are they going to go nuts? So you and I actually landed on, I think it was the Eggo Waffles costume competition or something like that.
Yes.
We were going to call it something else. Or you can call it like a glam party. It doesn't matter to me. Just call it something else. It's not that big of a deal. And then the kids can go up dressed like Freddie Mercury or dressed like Diana Ross and they can, I'm coming up. And it'd be just a great time and nobody would be any the wiser and you still get your funds and all the gender sexuality alliance kids get to have their fun little costume party. I see nothing wrong with that. Think about it like this, Shane. If those kids had wanted to put on a production of Romeo and Juliet, which is a very sexual play, would anybody bat an eye or would they go, oh, no, that's Romeo and Juliet. That's classic Shakespeare.
No,
I don't think
they're going with the Shakespeare every single time. They're not looking at that.
Right. Even though there are scenes in that like graphic kissing, making out, touching, some of the language inside of it is very, very graphic, specifically talking about hands and civil hands doing uncivil things. You know what I'm talking about, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, buddy. You're talking about that. You're talking about those civil hands doing uncivil things. See what I'm saying, Shane?
Mm-hmm. You know, we like to keep it civil here at Cairo Nights, but sometimes, you know, when we're off air, we get a little uncivil. We're like every other normal human being. We get a little uncivil here and there.
Planning on getting a little uncivil tonight. You know what I'm talking about, Shane?
Woo!
You know
Thursday night, baby.
Thursday night. All right. So basically, what happened, Shane, is something that I find to be kind of annoying. So there's a guy, his name is Robert Mittendorf. He writes for the Olympian, and he said, this drag show grant for Whatcom Middle School draws criticism on conservative media. That's technically true, but there are also non-conservatives who also hold that idea, right? I'm sure I can find a couple of D's and a couple of I's out there, maybe a couple of L's out there that would say, I don't like the idea of kids having a drag show. I think that there are other commentators out there who might have their criticism of this. I don't think it's necessarily located on one side of the political spectrum. But it begins like this, Shane, and this is what I find so obnoxious about this kind of writing. National conservative media is again targeting Bellingham Public Schools over its efforts to foster equity, diversity, and inclusion in its teaching. This time over a proposed drag show at Whatcom Middle School. Ooh. Okay, so let's just take that at face value. Is it that we are targeting that school over their efforts to foster equity, diversity, and inclusion in its teaching? Or are we saying this is maybe not the best idea?
I would say not the best idea is definitely we were pretty concrete clear with that with ourselves.
Concrete clear with that guy. And then he goes on to now I thought he was going to mention you and I, Shane. I legitimately thought that he was going to say I was listening to Cairo Nights the other night and I heard
that would have been awesome. That would have been so great.
But, dude, get this. This is what's so irritating about this. He says, no date has been set for the event, but it was recently criticized by Jason Rance on his KTTH AM radio show in Seattle and featured at Newsmax, a conservative online site. KTTH is owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and Newsmax is owned by far-right journalist Christopher Ruddy. Also, blah, 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 blah. This is a legitimate question. Does that information make Jason's argument or what's his name's argument? The guy who owns, does it make Christopher Ruddy or Jason's arguments any less accurate? Does it? I mean, just the fact that Jason works for the same organization that I work for, which just so happens to be owned by the Church of Latter-day Saints, does that take away from Jason's argument? No, absolutely not. This is ridiculous. So what I find irritating about this is that there is nothing in here that would suggest any kind of like good faith reaching out, helping us to understand why the school chose to do this. It is now getting pigeonholed as a conservative v. progressive school situation when that's just simply not the case. And it's unfair to make that kind of delineation. You know what I mean? It's unfair to make that kind of statement, being that I'm pretty sure, I don't know about you, Shane, but there's probably a couple of D's in the audience out there who are listening to the show, and when they hear drag school, drag show, middle school, little kids, they go, yeah, maybe not the best idea, right? So I despise, I've normally or recently I've been more critical of like conservative people when they do this, but Robert Mittendorf should be kind of embarrassed to put this out there, saying that either Jason is targeting this, or apparently Jason as a gay man, by the way, is somehow targeting diversity, equity, and inclusion by having a moral, what do you want to call it? Like a moral aversion to allowing kids to participate in a drag show. Does he even do his research, by the way? Does he even know that Jason is gay? Like
probably
a proud
not.
Gay Jewish man?
Probably not. A lot of people don't know that. Like, it's quite hilarious to hear some of the stories that come out of that producing room for Jason Rantz, because there are some people even in conservative media that don't even know that, and it's quite shocking.
Oh, really? Okay, because I talk about it all the time whenever I do Jason's show.
Oh, yeah. No, there's been times where people didn't know, and it's quite funny.
Oh, man, that is hilarious. So he goes on. You can go and read the article for yourself. Basically, he holds up the value, this guy over the Olympian, he holds up the value of drag shows being, somehow an indicator of queer culture, which is actually very true. Totally fine. I think that that's great. The problem that we have for it is that you are involving children, tagline, drag show. Like if I were to say strip club, tagline, middle school, people would be deeply upset about that. And I could say, hey, man, strip shows are gay people have strip shows and lesbian people would be outraged. Right. It is the name that is attached to it that makes it ridiculous. And Robert Mittendorf should be embarrassed to try to defend this kind of stuff. He should be embarrassed. Welcome on the show anytime, by the way. Welcome on the show anytime. All right. We got to take a really quick break. We're way over. We'll be right back to wrap all this up right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have made it to the end of this installment of the Best of Cairo Nights. Myself, Sugar Shane Peterson, and the rest of the Cairo Nights crew want to wish you a very happy and safe Memorial Day with your friends and family. And, remember what Memorial Day is all about. Make sure that you, you thank a veteran, you think about the people lost, and, you go out and have a good time in the sun. So, we've got a What's on Your Mind segment right here. Everybody, be good. And we'll be seeing you on Tuesday.
Lisa, you know I like to run a clean show. You know that I like to. I don't do any blue material. I don't do any like innuendo type stuff. In all seriousness, like you, Lisa, you know that about me. I have pretty high standards for the show. I really hate blue material. So when I read this headline, I'm not saying this for the shock effect. I'm saying this because I never thought that I would read this as a headline. Are you guys ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Lay it on me.
Officer motorboated subordinate at promotion ceremony retires after guilty plea.
What?
Yeah. A former Louisiana National Guard officer was allowed to retire after a general court-martial convicted him of charges stemming from quote-unquote motorboating a subordinate officer during an informal promotion ceremony while deployed to Jordan in May 2021. I just am like, how – I in 2021, this is what I don't understand for dudes out there. the idea that you would put hands on a lady and do something like that as somebody, he's in his 40s, I'm dumbfounded by it, Lisa. I am dumbfounded by people who could be this stupid.
War makes you do weird things. I mean, that's just awful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, by the way, she has continued on to have a very fruitful career, I guess. So she was not impacted by that. And I guess that's the best part of the story. This is from the Army Times, by the way. Right. So I think that that's probably the best thing you can take from it. But in reading that headline, I just thought, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you are out of the Army, and I'm glad that you got court-martialed, and I hope that you don't come back. Don't be weird. Don't be a creeper.
Represent your
Lisa.
Country. Yes.
Yeah, please. Lisa, so what is on your mind this evening, other than this headline that I just stumbled upon?
I saw a guy dressed up like a banana at Trader Joe's today.
Really?
And he worked there, and he was stocking the freezer case like nothing was different about him.
Yes.
And it
yes.
was a full-on 8-foot-tall banana costume.
Wow.
I have no idea why.
Wow.
He looked like it was just any other Wednesday.
Maybe I'm wearing a banana suit right now, so I don't think there's anything weird about it. It's Banana Suit Wednesday. You guys aren't wearing banana
we
suits?
Didn't get the
banana
memo. Suit.
I left mine in the car.
You guys are telling me that I went out and I got my banana suit pressed and dry cleaned, and you guys aren't wearing your banana suit on Banana Suit Wednesday.
Oh, man.
I know that it's a part of proto, but sometimes, you know, I'm in a bit of a rush and I just forget to throw it in the car before I leave.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just so you guys know what's on my mind really quick today. So I'm walking Boo Bear about 5 or 6 hours ago, and Boo Bear is snoofing around some guy's driveway, and he's really into this guy's driveway. He's like, there's something going on in this guy's driveway. At the time, I am on the phone with one Brian Buckaloo, and we are talking about fill-in dates and what days I need off and just a litany of the travel plans, so on and so forth. And so this guy whose driveway it is, he comes out of his house and he says I have no idea what he said, but he said something like, right? Because I'm on the phone with Brian, and I did the rudest thing to him. I held up one finger to shush him.
Whoops.
And then I pointed at the phone. I now feel so bad. I feel like I should almost go back to his house and knock on his door and apologize to him for being so rude. I feel so bad.
Did you figure out what
he
wanted?
Ever since.
Did you ever?
I think he was just being neighborly. I think he was just like, "Hey, guys, yeah, your dog can snoof around my driveway," and I shushed him like a French queen. I shushed him, and I don't feel good about that. Like I'm royalty or something like that. Like I was like, I held up my finger, "Don't address the court." You know what I mean? It was just so inappropriate. So I almost feel like going and knocking on his door and be like, "Hey guy, I apologize." But maybe that's just my social anxiety. Shane,
it's all those ratings going to your head, man.
Yeah, I should have told the guy, "Hey man, I've got the number one show in the PNW between seven." Hey, man, is what I should have done. Lisa, do you have any thoughts? Should I go back and apologize?
I kind of think you should. But maybe just say, how are you doing? Bring him a fruit basket or something. I don't know. But, if I were in his position, I think I would feel pretty bad if I just wanted to say, "Hi, how are you?" And I got kind of shut down like that, you know.
Yeah, now I feel worse.
I mean, you were in the moment. You were respecting your boss. You were probably, it was important information. I see your side of it too. Or maybe if you see this guy outside again, make a point of turning your phone off and going over and talking to him or something.
Yeah, I like that one. I think that's what I'll do. I'll go back tomorrow and see if I can't chat him up. Shane, in the last couple of few, what's on your mind, buddy?
What's on my mind? Tomorrow I am going to be paid to do voice acting, going to be pretty cool.
Hey.
And then also, I shared this with you, Jack, but I put my name in the hat to be on a dating show. So
that might be
in the future. That's all that's on my mind. But we got to get out of here. We got commercials.
Yeah. All right, we will see you tomorrow. I'll see you guys on Monday. So for Sugar Shane Peterson, lovely Lisa Brooks, and myself, wish everybody a very good night. Bye.
so is your temple. You know what?